Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. With that, we bring in... Time to bring in now the outstanding Joe Putnam. Sir, welcome.
Thank you very much, Steve. Very much looking forward to almost another opening day coming up.
Yeah, it does feel like another opening day coming up, which will be Friday night. New roster, let's safely say 90 to 95% of it is new. How excited are the players now to get this opportunity, especially over the last 50 games?
Oh, very excited. You know, we do have a few holdovers from the first half squad for the Spikes. Pitchers Ty Buckner, Derek Cherry, and Sam Walbridge. Cherry's been outstanding. Buckner actually served as a closer for the Spikes in the first half. So he, after finishing up his collegiate career at Gonzaga, now going to stick around, become part of the young professionals in the second half. And we also have some familiar names from last year's Spikes. Luis Aviles is back, the catcher out of Tulane. He'll be returning as one of the catchers in the second half this year. And also we'll have Marcus Page back, who has hit some monster home runs here over the past two seasons, as well as Louis Davenport, the right-hander, who set the Spike single-game strikeout record with 12 whiffs in a game last year at Mahoning Valley. He's back for a second season on the pro side, the second half of the MLB Draft League schedule. But we're also very excited because Logan Mathew, the Bellefonte native who led the MLB Draft League second half, actually led the league for both halves in home runs, playing for the West Virginia Black Bears last year. I like to say that he's seen the light, and he's come back home to Happy Valley, and he'll be a State College Spike here in the second half this season. And I know a lot of Bellefonte folks are excited. I think a lot of just baseball fans here in Happy Valley are going to be excited to see him out here. Given what he was able to do last year as a member of the Black Bears, it'll definitely be a big season for him here in Happy Valley as well.
And this is also important for them because players can come out of this second half, and we saw last year players sign as free agents as the season was going along with major league teams, Joe.
Exactly. You know, John Beamer, who was a pitcher, got signed right away in the second week of the second half by the Milwaukee Brewers. Nick Guile got signed by the Colorado Rockies after playing the second half of the season last year. And these are players, their contracts can be purchased during the season. They can sign as free agents after the season, but they're trying to get that opportunity and really showcase themselves for these major league teams. Obviously, the MLB draft is this coming weekend, starting this coming weekend as part of All-Star Week in Seattle. But after that, there are still opportunities for these players to really impress major league scouts, major league teams with the numbers they might be able to put up here in the MLB Draft League. And like you said, we saw that last year, and hopefully it just continues on. I mean, we had more players drafted and signed as free agents in the post-draft period last year than we did in 2021. Hopefully that trend will be on the rise again in 2023, proving how much, this place, the State College Spikes, are still where that road to the show begins and guys will see in the major leagues down the line.
Exactly. The 3rd of July on Monday, saw a crowd of more than 5,000. Spikes won the game 3-1. Cam Buford hit a 414-foot home run. 20 minutes fireworks display afterward. And I remember I went home that night and I said, you know what? This is, if you went to that, you'll want to get season tickets because it was just that kind of night. What impression did it make on you?
Hey, Steve, it was just about the perfect night here at the ballpark. Like you said, the fantastic fireworks show, one of the biggest we've ever had at a Spikes home game. A great 3-1 win over the Williamsport Crosscutters, tight to the very end, but the Spikes pulled it out. Cam Buford, of course, who is now, after playing in the MLB Draft League prospect game last night, he's about to go play at the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up tomorrow in Seattle as well. He smashed a 414-foot home run. Great pitching from the Spikes throughout, starting with Derek Cherry, who again is coming back for the second half of the season, and finishing up with Ty Buckner coming back for the second half of the season as well. And just all of that, and a beautiful evening. And that's really what it's all about. That's what we're seeking to do each and every night. It definitely, Monday was one of those perfect games, and we're right back at it this weekend. And that's what we're trying to recapture here each and every time. Give fans a great experience, something to remember, so that hopefully they can come back and have it again and again and again with us here at the ballpark. And it all starts up again Friday night.
And Friday night, that's all part of this big weekend. And the ability to make the experience great again. And it all starts, all right, it's time to, quote, meet the challenge. And I am talking to somebody who has already met the challenge at Penn State Baseball.
That's right. You know, we started it off, the Dollar Dog Challenge started off. Obviously, those just caught fire here at Penn State games this spring. And so I indeed took the challenge. I met the challenge by downing 9 hot dogs in 9 innings. I know I've gotten word from people who at Penn State Dollar Dog Night, at the first Spikes Dollar Dog Night earlier this season, they downed 9 hot dogs in 2 or 3 innings, which I was like, you know, good, more power to you. That is impressive. But the challenge is 9 hot dogs in 9 innings, and of course I was doing it while still doing my job speaking during the games as well, which was a little bit of an additional handicap, but I made it through. And anybody who was able to do that, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings on Friday night, they'll be entered into a drawing, and one lucky fan from that group will get a free year's membership at East Coast Health and Fitness here in State College. So it's a fun way of fusing Dollar Dog Night and Fitness Night together. Two things you might at first glance think are at odds, but they're not. They're very much connected. And I think, folks, you know, that's really what it is getting those hot dogs in. You're getting your protein, your meat, and you're building those muscles. So that's the way I choose to view it, and I think a lot of people view it that way as well.
Because you're an American, Joe. You're an American.
That's right.
This is what Americans do. Come on. Saturday is going to be another fireworks display as well, which adds into what they've been doing every weekend.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so really every weekend here, every Saturday is a fireworks night. We got Super Saturdays. And, of course, every Saturday also a baseball bingo. So you had the huge fireworks show here Monday night, the even bigger Central PA 4th Fest fireworks show Tuesday night to celebrate the 4th of July. We're going to have more fireworks this Saturday. It's also Ag Night at the ballpark on Saturday. So after the 6:35 game, the fireworks, which are presented by the Meadows, will be a salute to Morgan Wallen. That'll be the soundtrack for the fireworks display that'll light up the skies over Happy Valley here on Saturday. And I do want to mention as well, just going quickly back to the Friday night game, the Bald Eagle area baseball team that won the title here at Medler Field, LeBron Park, as well as the softball team that made it to the state championship game over at Beard Field. They'll both be honored here on Friday night. And the Belfont team that won the Class 4A state title, BEA Class 2A, Belfont 4A, they'll be honored on July 15th, which is also the same night as Sean Clifford's retirement party and bobblehead giveaway night.
We'll get to that in a moment. Sundays paint the park purple, and that's important because more and more we're hearing about people diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and the great people at Juniper Village are going to be sponsoring that.
Yes, indeed, and it's also in conjunction with our second Bark in the Park night of the season.
Yes, it's July 9 for your canine.
That's right. Bring your canine on 7/9. You'll be able to do it again on 8/9 and 8/29, but bring your canine on 7/9, and we'll have purple-powered puppy giveaways for all our four-legged friends as well. We'll literally paint the park purple here during the course of the evening. But again, it's all to aid in the battle against Alzheimer's disease, raising funds, raising awareness, and continuing on the fight with our good friends at Juniper Village. And the Alzheimer's Association, by the way, will also be out here for that event on Sunday as well. And that's a 4:05 game. But you can bring your four-legged friend, have all sorts of fun here. And after that game, kids and dogs can run the bases, thanks to our good friends at Mount Nittany Health as well.
All right, so I know it's hard for people to believe that Sean Clifford will not be playing Penn State football this fall. He'll actually be in the Green Bay Packers camp.
Yeah.
So what was the genesis, you know, and you're talking around the table, hey, let's throw a retirement party for him. So, yeah, how did that come to be? And then when you communicated it to Sean, what was his reaction to it?
Well, as most things are here at the Spike, we were just sitting around one afternoon trying to generate some ideas. Might have had a beverage or two in the vicinity as well. But, you know, we got together and somebody just threw out, Sean Clifford should have a retirement party for him. He's been around forever. This is actually even before the Rose Bowl took place. This is the tail end of 2022. And it's one of those ideas. Like, we have them from time to time. We get an idea at 9 a.m. We refine it at noon. We put it out there at 3. This thing needed a little more work. Obviously, we're looking to get Mr. Clifford on board with it as well. But as soon as we put together what we had lined up and presented it to him, he was all for it. You know, Sean is, I think Sean realizes, you know, I mean, with Coach James Franklin joking about him being in the 1923 team photo, I think he's been through this before, but he was totally on board. And of course, the bobblehead will be given away to the first 1,000 fans. That bobblehead depicts him with the rose in his mouth, in the blue and white uniform after the Rose Bowl victory, where he was named MVP, of course, capping his Penn State career on such a high note. And then fans can also purchase an additional limited edition VIP bobblehead package. And, you know, we talk about Coach Franklin joking about the 1923 team photo. Well, we looked into it. We happened to find a team photo from 1923. And lo and behold, the one we have, he's in it. And so the bobblehead, the VIP limited edition bobblehead, has him in the rocking chair with that 1923 get up on. Black and white, of course, as they all were back then. But that is available as a limited edition VIP package. It's $75 for the bobblehead, a Diamond Club ticket to the game, and you get the exclusive pregame meet and greet with Sean here at the ballpark by getting that limited edition 1923 VIP bobblehead package. So, and we're going to have all sorts of activities. I know folks are asking about the Silver Seekers walk we're going to have in the morning. Unfortunately, Sean can't quite join us for that one. I think, you know, he'll have to get, you know, worked up. I think he'll expend all his energy that night. But we're welcoming all the senior citizens out. And, of course, Sean's turning into a senior citizen himself. I mean, he'll turn 25 the day prior to the event. So anybody 25 and over gets the senior citizen discount at the ballpark, which is $1 off, and you can participate in the Silver Sneakers Walk, which will take place Saturday morning as well. We'll also give away a rocking chair, a Florida snowbird trip giveaway. One way, of course, because you're going down to Florida to retire. You're not coming back.
Right.
One way down there. Mm. But all sorts of other great giveaways. And you know, these are sort of the typical retirement gifts.
Yeah.
And so, but Sean is totally on board. We were looking forward to having him here before he heads up to training camp with the Green Bay Packers. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to coming out. He will be signing autographs, too, during the game. So if you're not part of the exclusive meet and greet, you'll still be able to get autographs and meet Sean here at the ball game. But that'll give you the exclusive opportunity with the limited edition VIP bobblehead package. But gates will open up to the public at 5:30. Season ticket holders do get in early. And I want to mention as well, you get two guaranteed giveaways as a season ticket holder. So a lot of folks are using one of those options on the giveaway bobblehead presented by Lion Country Kia that depicts Sean in the Rose Bowl. And then others will hopefully get in there in line. And if you do purchase the VIP bobblehead package, and if you are here early enough, you still will be able to get the giveaway package as well. Meet and greet will start after gates have opened to the public at 5:30 with early entrance for our season ticket holders and groups.
What was his reaction to the rocking chair part of it?
You know, he laughed, and he's a great sport about all.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
You know, he's been tremendous to work with on this, and he definitely is looking forward to it. He got a big kick out of the rocking chairs, did we all? And everything we presented, he's just, you know, had a smile, and he loves it, and it's just the kind of thing we do. You know, we lean on the side of let's make this as big and as crazy as possible, and we're certainly doing that. And I know, folks, you know, if you haven't yet got your tickets for that game, you do want to make sure you do so leading up to the game. Yes, they'll probably be available. Great seats are available now, but you want to make sure that you're able to be here, able to be part of that VIP meet and greet with that VIP bobblehead package, the limited edition bobblehead. And again, that's $75. You can get that at statecollegespikes.com, as well as tickets to the July 15th game with the Sean Clifford retirement party and bobblehead giveaway, this weekend slate of games, and every game remaining on the second half of the Spikes 2023 schedule.
And finally, on that, that's the first of a lot of bobbleheads in the second half.
That's right. We have five bobblehead giveaways in all. And the Sean Clifford one kicks it off. And by the way, I do want to mention, those bobbleheads have arrived, and so you'll be able to watch the Spikes on social media and see what exactly you'll be getting if you are one of the first 1,000 fans, or if you get that limited edition VIP bobblehead package. But we've also got Lucky the Lion, our master and commander of Lucky's K-Zone here at the ballpark, for the first 500 fans on Sunday, July the 30th. That's presented by Lion Country Kia as well. Then on August 19th, it's the 25th anniversary, of course, of the LeVar Leap. So the LeVar Arrington, LeVar Leap bobblehead, depicting him mid-leap with those twin ones there, Six City. That will be presented to the first 1,000 fans on August the 19th. That's a Saturday. Then on Saturday the 26th, Carter Storace, the multi-time NCAA wrestling champion, will be on a bobblehead. That'll go to the first 1,000 fans presented by McClure Company. And then on Sunday, August 26th, a guy who's just starting up the NBA Summer League soon, Jalen Pickett, one of the newest Denver Nuggets. Of course, 2,000-point scorer, led the way for the Nittany Lions in that great NCAA tournament run this year. He'll be on a bobblehead that goes to the first 1,000 fans on August 27th, presented by Penn State Health. That'll also be Coaches versus Cancer Night here at the ballpark. It'll be actually Coaches versus Cancer Day. It'll be a Sunday 4:05 p.m. game. Again, first 1,000 fans get that Jalen Pickett bobblehead as well. And we are trying to make sure Carter Storace will be here for his night. We're working on LeVar Arrington being here for that night as well. And we're also working on Jalen Pickett being here at the ballpark when his bobblehead goes to the first 1,000 fans. So you can be sure you will be able to meet and get autographs from Sean Clifford. Of course, Lucky the Lion is here every night, so he'll be able to get that one going as well. Working on LeVar Arrington, working on Jalen Pickett, and Carter Storace will be here to meet Street fans as well when his bobblehead's given away on the 26th of August.
Jalen just signed a 4-year contract with the Nuggets, 3 guaranteed.
Excellent. So, yeah.
He's already signed. So, Joe, as always, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, and looking forward to welcoming you back to Happy Valley soon. And I have some big nights coming up here in the second half, I think, for you and I as well.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Joe Putnam. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Baseball. You know, we didn't mention one injured player in that. That's great.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I prefer to talk about people who are there. You and your kids keep cheering for people that are no-shows.
I'll rise!
You can't rise unless you want to play in the game. You've got your kids rooting for slackers. Is that the example you want? No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
See, now, Ricky Ricardo, what does he do every day for the Yankees?
He's there broadcasting.
He shows up.
In Spanish.
He shows up.
Qualify for Medicare and
Was that Medicare thing like a hint to me or what?
I don't think so, no.
I'm telling you, I think you guys are starting to take shots at me. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Brett Yormark is the commissioner of the Big 12. The Big 12 will officially expand to 14 teams this season because Oklahoma and Texas will play this season in the Big 12. They will add BYU. They already have. As of July 1, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF are in. So when Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC a year from now, officially, will the Big 12 be 12? And Brett Yormark was interviewed by Spencer Litton of BYU Sports Nation. He said, quote, "I'd like to stay at 14, even with the departure of Texas and Oklahoma, candidly. We'll see if that's a possibility or not, but I love 12. He said, it's more about fit. He says, we're not chasing a number, but it really is about fit. A topic is going to be brought up at Big 12 Media Days, and that will start next Wednesday in Arlington. The question is, okay, if you're sitting there at 12 and you like the number 14, who might 13 and 14 be? And I think a lot of people, it goes back to what Ryan Snyder was talking about. What's the deal with the Pac-12? If they do have a TV contract and everybody signs on, then the Big 12 probably stays at 12, although I know you that when it comes to basketball, there have been rumors about Gonzaga. Gonzaga hasn't had football since 1973. And, of course, UConn has been brought up. But UConn has already paid exit fee to the American Conference. They'd have to pay another exit fee to get out of the Big East. It's like having three coaches in 3 years, and you're paying all three at the same time because the other two, you're still paying the buyouts. I mean, that's what it comes down to. But the media days start next week. The Big Ten's still 2 weeks away, so it's not. That's. The bottom line. Every single commissioner is going to be asked the same thing. They're all going to be asked about expansion. Or not just expansion, but realignment. the ACC is not looking to expand. They're looking to keep everybody on board. The Pac-12 is looking to survive. The Big Ten and the SEC have been sitting pretty for a long time. And the Big 12, which looked like it was on the brink of extinction a couple of years ago when Texas and Oklahoma announced that they were leaving, has, to their credit, remarkably bounced back. And we'll see how it plays out. We did point out that talked a lot about NIL in the past week. And James Franklin put out a tweet and the tweet he put out, and this was late yesterday afternoon, every game week, we call on our hashtag 107KStrong together. We are locked in, committed, and show the tremendous power of the Penn State community. We need everyone, and that was capitalized. Locked in on being 1-0 in the NIL race. There is power in our hashtag 750K Living Alumni, and we need everyone to take pride and compete. This goes back to what Ryan was talking about. Ryan was talking about Ryan Snyder. That, you know, they've been recruiting along, and they've had a couple of last second, like, people that everybody thought they were going to get, and they end up going someplace else, and there's the NIL influence. And that is what and that's why we've been talking about either adapt or lose. I mean, that's what it comes down to, adapt or lose. You know, it's interesting. You may have somebody that will, you know, you might have somebody sit there. You know, the old way of doing it, getting an education, the whole thing. And James stresses the education part, like, not just a little, a lot. They're there for an education to play the whole thing. But you might be the first person when they're 4-8 to say, well, the coach has got to go. Excuse me, over here, he asked for your help. You didn't give him any. And your choices are adapt or lose. And that is where we are in the NIL landscape that we've talked a lot about in the past week. All right, so the Ellie De La Cruz thing can't be the only thing you complained about. I feel like I bottled you up here for an hour.
Actually, that was about the only thing that I've seen so far, at least. And we still have another 20 minutes, so anything can happen. But I got most of it out with that alone.
Talented player. But there's a lot more to playing than just the playing part. There's the professionalism part. And you can get worked up by, you know, people trying to throw you off your game, which they were trying to do with the knob of the bat thing. I mean, they were trying to throw him off. And didn't throw him off. He homered. But you got to be able to be mature about it. He's 21. Yeah, so... Dan Levitard said, highly questionable was just an infomercial. It could have been any show in the world from 4:30 to 5, he said on his podcast. He said, they could have chosen any show in the world, and it would have been an infomercial that just gets you to the next games. That's what most of the programming on ESPN is. They've got too many hours to fill for much of it to be good. It's too much landscape, and he's right about that. What he's articulating is not criticism of ESPN. It's just the reality of the business. I mean, you sit there, and you can have a doubleheader night of NBA or a triple header night of college basketball. Like, it's the drivers are the games. The drivers are the games. College football's great. They can do game day from 9 to noon. Then they got a game at noon, a game at 3:30, a game at 7:30, a game at 10:30. I mean, that is like the perfect life for ESPN. But the problem is during the week and including Sundays, because they don't carry anything on Sundays. They don't have the NFL. They have the NFL till Monday night. But they're just those shows in the day where they're all yelling at each other. It's just filler. It's just filler. Because they're a 24/7 sports operation. And that's a problem. And according to Levitard, he said one of the problems is that Gen Zers, he says, are gravitating toward viral content. Levitard said, I'd say it's a number of different factors. Beyond streaming and people living off the grid and getting away from cable television because they just don't want to pay for it, empirically, young people are less interested in sports. Now, we'll find out about that as time goes. I mean, Rob Manfred, of course, with Major League Baseball, they went to great lengths to make the game more palatable to younger audiences. And Alex Reimer wrote a column recently about how traditional pundits no longer carry the same weight as content creators. And this is going to be for the industry of sports moving forward. How do you keep young people engaged in sports? Now, this is where, for college sports, and we discussed this yesterday, that you choose that school. This goes back to John Affleck's column that he wrote in Forbes. I mentioned Forbes to the suit, and he asked if he played second base for the Cardinals. I don't know where we... It's hard to communicate with some of our people.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up!
Only 58% of Gen Zers say they enjoy sports. And the figure, by the way, aligns with the other data that they're seeing. Only 23% of Gen Zers say they are passionate sports fans, compared to 42% of millennials, 33% of Gen Xers, 31% of boomers. I don't even know what age groups these people are anymore. I have no idea, but I'm just giving it to you.
I'm a millennial. Gen Xers are what are people younger than me.
Okay. 27% of Gen Zers say they dislike sports altogether. But only 7% of millennials dislike sports, only 5% of Gen Xers, and 6% of baby boomers. In other words, there could be an issue down the road. But again, for college sports, when you look at the stands, and there are 21,000 to 22,000 Penn State students who bought season tickets, and the season tickets went in minutes, not hours, not days, but minutes. That's your fan of tomorrow right there. That's your fan of tomorrow. They say that youth sports participation is down. Kids are now addicted to video games, virtual worlds. TikTok does a brilliant job in our staff meetings of melting down people's brains. No, not true.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No comment.
And they want to sit down. The idea of sitting down for a predetermined time to watch a three-hour game for Gen Zers, some of them, is outdated. There are 2.4 billion people playing games online, according to the New York Times. 2.4 billion. You want to know how many hours a month I play games online?
I'm going to go with zero.
Bingo! Okay.
Same here. I used to like play some video games here and there, but I'm not good at it. I just have no interest anymore. It's been that way for a while. Like, since before I graduated high school.
He writes that it's not just a question of saying goodbye to long-form sports journalism. It's saying goodbye to the written word altogether, he writes. Better, the sports media company and micro-betting app co-founder Jake Paul, he's one of the top commodities today. His BS interview series is certainly a draw for him. It exists for the purpose of funneling people to a gambling app, not too dissimilar to from Barstool these days. The company's social media content, you know, that some call sophomoric, is drawing people in. They partner with the Cavender twins from Miami. They're making millions in NIL deals. Paul has over 17 million TikTok followers. The Cavender twins have 4.5 million. And their sports adjacent content now reaches tens of millions of people. All right. Individuals drive engagement now, non-institutions. And they're all going viral, it seems, all the time. So The Athletic laid off people last month, including our good friend Rob Beer Temple. You see ESPN doing layoffs. Right? And according to Jesse Pantusco, The Athletic's layoffs are part of a vicious cycle killing sports journalism. It's not changing sports journalism. According to Jesse, it's killing it. Remember yesterday I was talking about Gene Wojciechowski and how is another person with journalistic chops being let go? It's not valued anymore. The Athletic, 5 years old. They had a lot of money. They rapidly expanded. They moved into 50 markets. They're covering hundreds of teams. They also did a lot with England's Premier League. The Athletic, you know, and how many times have you heard me say that if The Athletic fails, journalism goes with it?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you heard me say that? I've said that how many times? That they were the last stand. Well, you know, the NWSL had institutional problems. Athletic broke it. Ken Rosenthal's trade deadline notes column. All right. They wanted to, quote, restore real journalism. Some of the long-form stuff in The Athletic is tremendous. And The Athletic, for a long time, hung in there. But now it's faltering under the same problems that have brought down every other online sports site. Okay? Since the New York Times bought them, The Athletic has lost $36 million. So who's replacing sports writers? It's not bloggers. Nope. How about content creators? They're the ones replacing them. And a lot of this is trying to appeal to Gen Z. Pro sports leagues right now are beefing up their games on TikTok and esports. They're employing thousands of, quote, influencers. I hate that word. Influencer. Goody. Just, yeah. Maybe that's because they have zero power to influence me about everything.
No, I actually despise that too.
I hate that word.
Me too.
I'm an influencer. Nah, you're really not.
And I hate that those people are making more money than me by just doing the most random stupid stuff on YouTube.
But that's, look, if that part doesn't bother me. You know. But I choose not to, go along with it because I don't think they know anything, and I'm pretty sure I'm right.
But see, that's also part of the problem, though, of why we're having this conversation, is because people nowadays, whether you're young or old or whatever, see that, oh, I could make money by just, you know, pretending that I'm mowing with my kids or I'm just sitting there smoking a cigar or something, and I'll get hundreds of millions of views and I'll get a stipend eventually. I don't have to go to school or work. That's part of our problem in today's society. That's part of why we're having this conversation now, especially in the sport, in sports media and media in general. It's too easy for people now. You don't have to work as hard to get into this industry.
Well,
that's what makes me mad about some of these sort of things. That's what bothers me.
We like to have fun. Like, I've been having fun at your expense on Aaron Judge all day because, I mean, the guy's hurt, for goodness sakes. I mean, you know, and he tore the ligaments in his toe. I mean, he can't play. But when it comes time to be serious on the show, we're serious on the show because we think people want to hear serious talk about things. Right? I'd rather when the show be over that you felt like you learned something that maybe you didn't know before, or reinforce something that you thought, and yep, okay. All right. Let's face it, it used to be you go out in the backyard, you play ball, play in the neighborhood, pick up games, things like that, pick up basketball. Everything's become so organized in that part of it. And obviously, you know, people get concerned these days about kids going out. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see about this. Again, part of college sports, what it does between college football, college basketball in particular, we'll leave it at that. Is that they get season tickets, they go, and they become fans for life. I think that, let's take wrestling, for example. The youth wrestling programs across this state, which are extensive, make wrestling fans for life, and they can't wait to go see a Penn State wrestling dual meet. I think the youth wrestling programs in this state are phenomenal. And what they do is they drill into young people the skills and the enjoyment of it. So there are ways to get around all of this. And I believe, doesn't the suit refer to himself as an influencer?
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
If he did, I certainly missed that memo.
But I'm concerned that some of the commentary is under the influence. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.